Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend of football, indoor style in the women's game. The outdoor leagues have already commenced. So we had our champions last week, and this week going forward, we still have action in the indoor arena game with the Legends Football League, as well as the Women's Arena Football League action in the States. There are some leagues happening and prepping up for the upcoming fall season in Australia. So we'll get into the fall season, for our fall season, their summer. As we come into the next week or two, we'll start diving into the networking groups that we have in Australia and kind of dive into LFL Canada as well. We'll get some insights there as to what's happening there with the Legends version of their U.S. league, as well as, like I said, Australia. And we'll dive into Australia heavily because we have a lot of things going on in Australia with the traditional game, the full kit game, as well as the launch of the arena-style leagues. There's a couple of weeks there as well, including the Legends Football League Australia, which is the inaugural season. Everybody's excited to see how that evolves in Australia. So welcome to Gridiron Beauties Radio today. Like I said, Sunday, August 11th, preseason NFL as well. So as we go forward into the show next week and the week after, as the NFL kicks into gear, we will also discuss, you know, one or two key games they're on the docket in terms of the NFL scene and going into, obviously, towards the Super Bowl. So we welcome everybody to chime into our show as well and talk about the NFL as well. So we'll dive into the National Football League scene week to week, as well into the scene of the women's gridiron game in Australia. So we should have a great show today. Today we have our guest lined up today is Kara Vargas, and she's part of the Women's Indoor Football League that's going to launch in 2014. So she'll be with us in a couple minutes to discuss the intangibles of how to get the league up and running, what their future, you know, holds for them in terms of a professional status. And then going forward, they're basically on the East Coast, so it's kind of nice to see how regionally they're going to be able to draw. So we'll get into it with Kara in terms of how the league's going to evolve and how things are going to probably progress at this point towards the launch in 2014. If you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. My name is Oscar Lopez, and our short format's interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On our Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to the show and using hashtag GB Radio, hashtag GB Radio, after any comment on Twitter. We review the questions and select a handful to address with our huddle guests. You can also call in by dialing 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418, and you can engage with us or our guests as well. We love the feedback to our show and our guests as well. You can also leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio under the comment box. You can find us on various social sites, like on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty and on Facebook at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauty. Or you can go to our website at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. We encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, and information about your league, players, and organization on our Twitter and Facebook pages. We also have a great format to get the word out in terms of events sponsorships and branding news by using hashtag 2-Minute Drill on any Twitter feed, on any post there. We tally those weekly, and at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're going to be at going forward into the week. So this week was the week ending the 10th, so any information you wanted us to dissect out to and give a shout out to for the week ending the 17th would be the submission for Saturday. So we want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today bringing you the news and notes of the women's gridiron game. I want to give a shout out to our network, which is at Backseat Coach, at WFA Scores, at IWFL, at WSFL, at Football Nacional in Europe, at FX Mexico, at Janet TV Football, at FIFA _ Spain, at Women's Tackle Football Canada, as well as Canada Chat, and at Touchdown Europe for their amazing work weekly on league info and player news throughout the women's game. Since we are in the United States, we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game here in the States, whether it be traditional or non-traditional. The season for the WFA and the IWFL ended about a week ago or so. So we do cover the Women's Football Alliance, even in the off-season, as well as the Independent Women's Football League, as well as the Women's Spring Football League and the Western Women's Canadian Football League, the Maritime Women's Football League in Canada, the Legends Football League U.S. and all branches, the Women's Arena Football League, the Sugar and Spice Football League out of Texas, as well as the WIFL, which will take effect in 2004, and we'll talk to Kara Vargas a couple of minutes here regarding that. Also, the international scene with networking groups in Guam that cover the Guam Women's Tackle Football League, which is Guam Sports. Shout out to them. And the LMNFA, which is the Liga Nacional de Football Americana in Spain, that covers the Spanish women's gridiron game. In Italy, we cover the CIFA, which is the Italian Women's Gridiron Championship League, as well as the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, the ACK Women's Gridiron in Australia, the Ladies Football League Australia, as well as the upcoming Legends Football League Australia, and the Ladies Gridiron League in Australia. In Mexico, we cover FX Mexico and AFFE Mexico, as well as the Pretty Girls Football League, and then also the Bikini Football League of Mexico. Visit us on Facebook under our like section for all the women's gridiron leagues we follow globally. So let's get started with the info notes that were coming up. The playoff picture in the LFL has started to evolve in the last week or so. So we'll go into that in a couple minutes here. Try to dive into that before we get with Kara here. But the playoff picture pretty much set. There's a key matchups happening. Last night in Green Bay, it was Green Bay Chill taking on the Chicago Bliss. Chicago Bliss coach had guaranteed a win previously in the press releases by the Legends Football League. And Coach Hack said that, you know, they were going to go ahead and, you know, on the road, take the win and get ready to take on the playoff game on August 17th. And they were basically scheduled at this point. The winner of this game was scheduled to face, obviously, the former champs, or the current champs, the L.A. Temptation, which are basically leading in the wings based on the result of this game. It started out pretty well last night, and we want to give a shout-out to DJ G, Kerry, Carew, and obviously F. Sivaldi, as well as Keystone 08 or 08435, for their amazing tweet cast last night from the Rush Center in Green Bay. So they did a great job for them, and we want to give a shout-out to them for their amazing work last night on their tweetcast. Green Bay Chill coming into the game, best offensive unit in the game. Ann Erler basically kind of scaled back, more of a pocket quarterback, had a lot of weapons. Jessica Payton, you had Anna Haysman, you also had Haley Gistra, Cassie Anderson. So a lot of weapons on Gilbert Brown's squad this year, more so than any other year. And it just became a situation where they started out a little slow. Chicago ended up capitalizing early with Heather Furr, as well as Crystal Harris, probably the best running back in the Legends Football League this year. Crystal Harris is probably the best running back all the way around overall in terms of that. And hard to stop. She does a great job of turning corners, and once she turns a corner, it's full speed, and it's very hard to defend on her. So you had Allie Alberts as well on the team. You had Taylor as well on the team. So there's a lot of Chicago Bliss hopefuls from the disappointing season from last year, and then they started off pretty slow as well, but they've kind of built into it in terms of a playoff mode. Chicago's history against Los Angeles just a little bit back to it goes back to 2009 when they got beat in the championship game, and it's gone a seesaw battle back and forth. This year they lost at the beginning of the year to the Temptations, so it's kind of a rematch coming up here on August 17th. So we'll see how that pans out in terms of, you know, are they ready for Los Angeles? And Los Angeles didn't look as great as they usually do because they had Eddie Chan as their first game out, kind of questionable in that sense, but I think they've improved much since then. I think L.A. usually is very good in the playoffs. They usually don't lose. They come out with an aggressive and fearful state. It's a new team, obviously. They don't have the Tessa Barrera. They don't have the Audrey Lotzkos, but they still have Melissa Margulies. They still have Natalie Markey. Improvement of Daniel Harvey, Monique Taxiola is always, you know, top notch. Stephanie Pissek there as well. So L.A. really on the road. It's a second victory that they have to look for at Sears Center on August 17th. We'll see how that, you know, works out for them in terms of how the outcome is. But you got to put your money on probably Los Angeles at this point based on their track record. Heather Furr played an amazing game last night. It was 27-18. Like I said, Chicago came out with full force, scored early and often, and Green Bay, you know, valiant effort on with Taylor Haywood, Cassie Henderson, Jessica Payton. Everybody played pretty well, but just a little bit too late. They could not just match blow for blow, and it just turned out that they had to disappoint the home crowd. 27-18, and Heather Furr is looking for obviously an upset at this point, given they're playing against the champs. So one more shot at the Los Angeles Temptation. So a little bit about the Temptation on their route to get here. They obviously capitalize on one big loss, capitalize on a win that they didn't even play because Minnesota was basically a canceled game because it didn't really matter at that point. So the league canceled the Minnesota matchup. They gave them a tie, so they're 2-1-1, and so at this point they're looking for the victory against Chicago. It puts them in the playoff picture. How strong of a team they will be, they haven't played a game in almost over 2 months, I believe. So we'll see how, you know, if they're rusty and see how they turn out in terms of aggression. Chicago coming off just the one game this past week seems to be a little bit more physical, a lot more athletic. We'll see how Crystal Harris gets defended by Los Angeles in terms of their defense. Defensively, LA is very aggressive. They're very edgy, and they usually don't give up much yardage in terms of that. You got Ojem Chishindu in that mix, Daniel Harvey now in that mix. You got Chelsea Hart. So, you know, the front line there in terms of Los Angeles defensively, when they're on point, they're very, very tough to get through. So we'll see how the Bliss overcome the Temptation. On the YouTube channel, you had the Omaha Heart taking on Baltimore, and we'll talk about Baltimore's status at this point. The Charm get here with the best record of 3-1, and they obviously upset Omaha. Omaha played an amazing game. I mean, they played as tough as they would have played against the Jacksonville Breeze. So we'll see how that turns out in terms of the outcome, but hats off to Omaha, and we'll talk about that in the two-minute drill as well. In terms of the outcome there, it was 12-6. They played a tough game, it just came up short by a touchdown or so. So no bad thing there. Just they were just bound to improve. They're bound to improve for next season, and obviously their fans love them. The Heart's very dear to them. It's Nebraska's only, top-notch, league team right now besides the Omaha Beef. So it's women's gridiron, and they love it. So I'm pretty sure that they'll be coming out next year as well. And Baltimore's story is, Angela Ripken kind of improved on her status, and she's beginning to show good light. We'll see if that team actually can overcome Philadelphia, which is a tough team, Christy Bell and them. They've obviously started to roll again. And then you also have Atlanta. Nobody knows what Atlanta's going to bring at this point. So we'll go into the LFL picture in terms of the playoff picture. in a two-minute drill towards the end, and then kind of give you a picture, a rundown of the Women's Arena Football League as well. And then we'll dive into the final of the Sugar and Spice Football League in Texas as to round down the two-minute drill. So let's go into the No Joke Football Huddle. You know, No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by No Joke Football Brand. Sport your attitude, and you can get it at Zazzle.com, Gridiron Beauties. Zazzle.com, Gridiron Beauties, and that's the No Joke Football Brand. We'll see if we have Carol on the line here, and we'll dive in with her and talk about a little bit of the Women's Arena Football League. Carol, are you on the line?
I am. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the time today on Sunday to be with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me aboard.
Awesome. It was great to get feedback that you're able and available, so that was great. I know you're a busy lady now, especially with the new league. So tell the fans a little bit about, how that's transforming and your role in terms of, launching this huge endeavor. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of effort from everybody, but tell the fans a little bit about what the Women's Indoor Football League is all about and what your role is right now currently to help to get it up and running.
Absolutely. Well, again, my name is Cara Vargas with the WIFL, and I'm very excited to be a part of this new football league. We're sort of in the early stages still, but we're forming up quite nicely. Right now, I'm taking on a role as sort of a regional player representative or spokesmodel and trying to reach out to other ladies that are interested in playing football or have already played football. Of course, that's always welcome, but, given the history of women's football, it's pretty short as of right now. So sometimes, people are jumping on board for the first time, and I'm just trying to get the information out there to let ladies know that, we do have a wonderful league that's coming about for them to be able to showcase some of their talents and athleticism. Even if they've never played before, they can learn. An athlete can be turned into a football player. And so I'm just really trying to find the best of the best and provide information for those ladies who wish to play and help organize some of the tryouts in the area, as well as get the word out. That's really our main agenda right now, is just getting our name out there and letting the ladies know that they can register for tryouts right now, and they can pre-register on the www.wiflfootball.com website. So if they'd like to go ahead and try out, we welcome them to come and try on out. It's only, I believe, $25 to pre-register right now. So the earlier the better. If they can get in there and then just show us what they got, that would be excellent. So that's really our main focus right now, is just letting them know that we are available and answering any questions they have regarding the tryouts, what's going to be expected, where the teams are located, and so forth. So I am definitely here to answer those questions. I have a Facebook page on Cara Vargas, WIFL, where ladies are welcome to reach out to me, as well as they can reach me on my email account, and they're welcome to contact me at any time. I'd love to help out. That's just a little bit about what I'm doing right now.
It seems like a lot. It seems like you're up and running, and it just really seems like it's, it's a lot of work. Like everybody says, when you start a new venture, a new business, there's a lot of time and effort has to be put into it. So, Kara, tell the fans a little bit. Mostly Eastern Seaboard, and the league's going to be based out on the East Coast. And most of the teams are located within probably a one-hour, three-hour proximity. So how does that benefit you guys, the players in itself? Because I know the league, from what I'm told, you guys are going to be playing either a week-to-week type setup or every other week for the player. It's totally different than obviously any other arena league. So tell us a little bit about, the teams being situated kind of close by and how that benefits everybody.
Yeah, just like you said, they are all within a close proximity. The area or region that I'm going to be located in is the Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and Richmond, Virginia area. However, there's multiple teams that are all within that very close proximity, and that really helps benefit the ladies because, A, as you probably know and everyone else knows, we don't have a huge salary, coming into playing any sport for that matter. So it is always beneficial for us to not have to travel travel, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours to get to a practice or to get to a game every single weekend. So having that closer proximity, you know that you'd be able to reach tryouts or practice or the games within about an hour time frame. So that travel's kind of eliminated. Most of us work full-time jobs for that matter. So sometimes it's just a little bit hard to take off, you know, a few days of work. If we have a game on a Friday night or a Saturday, having to take off work on a Thursday to really prepare, sometimes that's not so feasible. So I think this really does help benefit the ladies because you're never going to be asked to travel, you know, more than a few hours for a game at this point in time. Of course, playoffs and so forth, that could be a different story. But as of right now, it's really geared to be more convenient for the ladies. So they know which area they're going to be playing in. And with that said, after tryouts, it's almost going to be like an NFL draft where you could play for any of those 2, 3, maybe 4 teams. However, again, you're not going to be asked to move down to Florida if you're living in Richmond, Virginia. So you know that you're going to be playing pretty locally. You're not going to have to uproot, quit your job or anything. Everything will go on kind of as you know it. And that really helps the ladies focus on the sport and know that, you know, they're appreciated and they're not being asked to do something that's not very realistic.
Now, I know you guys have structured in terms of the leagues, you know, the teams that came out, you do have a close proximity to almost everything, you know, like you talked about. So the setup here, is the league taking into consideration in terms of the amount of fees or anything that's being, you know, asked for the player? Because I know in the traditional game, you have to play to, you know, you have to pay to play. So obviously based on the tryout fee, is there any other fees at this point that anybody should know about once they get past the tryouts? Is it, you know, gear fees, any of that stuff, and how is that being structured?
As of right now, I am not aware of any other fees at this point in time. In fact, one of the benefits of the WIFL is that they are actually looking to pay us, which is sort of a different approach from some of the other leagues out there. And my former experience with the LFL, I know we may talk about that a little bit later, but as of right now, the only true fee is the pre-registration fee for the tryouts. Other than that, right now there's nothing more that's being asked of the ladies. Of course, things can change depending on what the goals and, you know, mission really are. But right now it's just that registration fee. I've been told that that fee could increase if you don't pre-register right now. The $25 pre-registration fee could go up. But as of right now, it's just that $25. So they're taking our pockets into consideration.
Well, that's good. I mean, because that's a big concern, because if you have anybody from the traditional game, you know for a fact that, you know, whoever's played traditional, you know, women's outdoor football, it's a burden at some point, you know, and it becomes a situation where it's a financial budgeting state where you have to budget a little bit of your money in terms of the travel, like you said, to get the practices back and forth, given the gas prices currently, and obviously, you know, everything else into account. So there's a little bit of concern. So that's the reason I asked, because there's a lot of players that are obviously concerned. Is it going to be more like the traditional league where, you know, initially it's going to start off? And I know we're talking, you know, right off the ground, and everybody always assumes that when a league jumps off the ground, they always want to make it like the NFL, which in reality, you know, it's going to take baby steps, you know, year one to year four. When you're growing something, there's always going to be that hiccup, as I call it. You know, you're going to have a hiccup every year, and hopefully, you know, a lot of heads get together and they're able to, you know, mediate that and then make it a better situation for the next year and improve on the processes. So I'm hoping that that's going to be the case here. But everybody's very excited about your league. When everybody says pay, you're going to get paid to play. And like you mentioned earlier, it's not big bucks. But with the same token, is that something that drew you in at that point? Is it something that's a focal point for you that you're going to get some sort of compensation out of it? Or is it just the fact that it's a different style of, you know, or full kit versus non-traditional?
Yeah, actually, when I first found out about the WIFL, I had no idea that there was even going to be any type of pay involved. I come from a woman's boxing background where you may make money boxing, but unfortunately, you know, the funds just aren't very high. And I really didn't expect there to be any pay, but I have found out that there would be about a $100,000 salary cap. And while that's not a lot per player, it's more the fact, what really intrigues me about the WIFL is that they're willing to compensate us for our effort time. Even though it may not pay our bills, it still does help pay for, you know, travel and, you know, any time that we do have to take off to work out, you know, our exercise time, our diets and so forth. You have to eat a nice clean diet. That costs a little bit more than eating McDonald's every day. So it's just the fact that they're willing to, you know, say, hey, you know, we respect you as players and we are willing to at least, you know, compensate you for your time and effort. It might not pay the bills again. However, I do think that's something a lot for the league and something that might intrigue the ladies a little bit more, showing that appreciation. So definitely something I think a lot of the women are looking forward to.
Now, when you have you at the tryouts, have you had a positive response from a lot of the participants at this point in terms of making the commitment? Because I know it's a big commitment, you know, whether you do traditional football or whether you play any sport, it's really about commitment. And if you don't have the commitment, it's kind of like a waste of time for everybody that's on the team or somebody that's trying out. So do you feel like the people that are coming out to these tryouts at this point, are they really committed to, you know, the team participation at this point?
I think so, yeah, that's a very, very good point. I know some ladies that have tried out for various other leagues, they're often drawn to it because of the publicity. You know, they see it on TV or whatnot, and they think, oh, wow, look, I can be, you know, nationwide. People are going to know who I am. Look how cool this is. But they end up dropping off like flies, you know, when it comes time to really practicing, and they see what it truly takes to be a real football player. However, with the WIFL, since we're coming on board a little bit later, you know, women's football has been out and about now for quite a few years. Some ladies have actually been playing since high school now. We're getting a lot more talent and people that are more dedicated to the sport. So I've been noticing when people are contacting me about tryouts, these are women who have been involved in sports, whether it's football or there's other boxers out there, I know for a fact, or women's bodybuilding or soccer, rugby. A lot of these ladies are contacting me and they're truly interested in, you know, being able to take part of that. And a lot of them are sort of intrigued by the camaraderie that comes with being involved with a team sport. So I think the women that are contacting me and some of the other representatives about playing are truly interested in, you know, setting aside that time. And that's something that we are informing them at the time of their, you know, whenever they show interest, is that it is going to take a big chunk of time out of your life. I mean, you're going to be playing almost every single week. Again, each team is going to be, you know, playing 13 games, which is enormous compared to some of these other leagues. So it is going to take a lot of time. And not only that, the time it takes, you know, throughout the week for your workouts, you can't just show up to practice once a week. You need to set aside at least an hour a day throughout the week to really get in condition. So that is something that we are letting the women know ahead of time. But I'm thinking we're getting a more serious crowd now that people know what women's football is all about and what we're all about as the WIFL league. They're going to be coming prepared. I've been watching some of the footage from a few of the other tryouts, and those ladies are pretty serious.
Now, Kara, you are into fitness as well. So, you know, commitment-wise in terms of, you know, the sport is one thing, but obviously being committed to your physical well-being is probably the other intangible. And when you talk to, like, NFL players, and obviously they get paid to do what mm-hmm. they do, but at the same token, it's a self-responsibility to get your body into shape or maintain your body into shape, because even if you get paid big bucks, as they say, you can still be the lousiest, you know, the lousiest player on the field. You know, without conditioning. So it's kind of a key in that sense, in that you're able to get a confirmation from somebody that's obviously going to do their part, not just, you know, to the practice state, but obviously into a fitness state. So I know you do your side on the fitness training. Is there any tidbits that you can give anybody right now that to get ready for, you know, the tryouts in terms of a physical state, or, you know, not necessarily mental, because that's something that's self-driven, but something about physical state in terms of nutrition or anything like that you would, you know, you would suggest at this point to anybody that wants to try out?
Yes, actually, we were supposed to have tryouts last month, and it might actually be a good thing that we had pushed those back. We don't have a confirmed date as of right now, but that does give the ladies a little bit more time to prepare for tryouts. And I'm going to let them know they need to prepare right now. If they're planning on coming out, please get off your tail and start working it right now, because it takes time. You can't become conditioned. And as a personal trainer, I'm so used to people coming to me, oh, I've got a vacation in 2 weeks. What can I do to lose weight? Well, unfortunately, it's more of a cumulative process. You're not just going to get in shape in a matter of a couple of weeks. There are some things you can do to sort of enhance and jump on it and, you know, better your chances, but the bottom line is you have to start eating a diet that's going to better prepare you to perform. You can't cut out all your carbs and expect to be able to perform on the field. You're not going to have any energy. It's really a balance of, you know, the various nutrients, your macronutrients and so forth, as well as conditioning. I would recommend that, you know, for any lady who hasn't been training up until this point and you want to try out, I would recommend you know, just cutting out all fast food. Get rid of the fast food right now. It's not going to help you. Show up to practice after eating fast food. You're not going to do your team any good. Loading up on that protein, I recommend trying to eat about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight that you would like to weigh. So if you currently weigh 160 pounds and you're trying to get a little bit faster, maybe get down to 150 pounds, you're a pretty stocky, muscular lady, I would recommend eating 150 grams of protein per day. Make sure that your carbohydrates are not white. And what I mean by white is no white sugar, no white bread, no white starches. Try to eat your brown rice, whole wheat pasta. I found these little pitas. They have them. I know that they have them at Giant grocery stores, and and this is in the Virginia area. I'm not sure what they have where you're at, but they're called Joseph's flaxseed pitas, and they are absolutely phenomenal. They have like 8 grams of protein, only 4 grams of net grams of carbohydrates. So, you know, that's a good way to start cutting back on that diet. Diet's about 70% of it. However, you can't just diet and diet off all of your muscle either. You need to go ahead and hit the gym. Make sure you're working on plyometrics. I also come from a weightlifting background, so I love to lift weights, but unfortunately that does not do me any good on the field other than having raw muscle mass. You really have to hit those plyometrics, otherwise your endurance is just not going to be up to speed for tryouts. Tryouts are really all about, hitting that 40-yard dash, long jump, typical NFL combine style exercises. So I recommend putting together maybe a circuit of pick 4 or 5 exercises that involve full muscle body movements, perhaps some, let's say some burpees. Everybody loves burpees. You could try to hit 15 repetitions on the burpees, drop down 15 push-ups, maybe some squat jumps paired with some frog jumps or something, and then maybe sprint for about 30 seconds. Try to get that in about a 30-minute period. You don't want to go through these really, really long, slow workouts where it's taking you 2 hours, you're resting 2 minutes between each set, and then maybe hitting some long, slow, steady cardio that's 30 or 40 minutes. Honestly, that's just going to be a time suck, and it's not really going to help you prepare for the tryouts. You want to hit those workouts hard. You can get a very, very beneficial workout in 30 to 40 minutes, far so than, you know, working out 2 hours a day. It's all about using that time efficiently and wisely. And don't eat that junk food. Please don't eat that junk food. Cut off the alcohol, and you should be good to go. And within a matter of 6 weeks, you'll be in pretty good shape. So do it now. Don't wait.
Awesome. Well, it's good advice, because the only reason I mention it is because we've gotten feedback not just in the non-traditional sense of the tryouts, but when regular traditional women's game, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't think of the nutrition side of it in terms of, you know, they think of physical, but they don't think of the nutrition side of it. So even if you're a heavy set woman that's going to be an online woman, for example, you still need to maintain some sort of balanced weight in a good state, so that you obviously, like you said, you're mobile and you're able to adjust and then prevent that injury state that goes with it. So nobody wants to get injured playing a hobby or a sport. Ultimately, everybody wants to be in good shape and, put out the season where you're in a good final state, where everybody's in good state in terms of the end of the season. Yeah, especially if you're, one of the top-notch teams. But football is always going to be an intangible, of course, like any other sport. Kara, can you tell a little bit about, I know, you have an influx of ladies wanting to try out. You have that female aspect of the college girl coming out with intrigue about this league and maybe the other leagues. I know you were in the LFL for a short period of time. Tell us a little bit about mm-hmm. what, made you go into that aspect of it first, and then we can talk about the, you know, the full kit gear, etc. But the non-traditional gear, from what I'm told, I've covered, you know, the Legends League for since its birth, and I know it's, you know, it's a candy eye mentality in that sense in terms of how what it's evolved. Now it's a lot more physical. It's a lot more demanding in terms of you know, a physical state versus what it was originally. You know, given the ownership, which, you know, we'll just take that right off and throw it out in the garbage at this point. Let's just talk about what your experience was with the, you know, the training there, how the team was managed. You know, what drew you in first? Let's just talk about the positive as to what brought you to the Baltimore Charm initially and in that aspect.
All right, yeah. Originally, I again, come from a boxing background, and that was my passion. That was my love. And as you know, boxing is a very single-person kind of sport. You don't really have a team behind you, more or less. But I had a bad shoulder injury. I tore my rotator cuff while preparing for my first professional fight, and unfortunately, I had to take some time down. And I realized I was never really going to be able to get back into boxing. So it's kind of funny. I was sitting around at a friend's barbecue one day in their backyard, and I love aggressive, you know, impact sports. And I said, you know, I think I want to give football a try. Are there any professional teams around here? Maybe I could try out for it. It was literally as simple as that. I just said, I think I want to try out football. So one of my friends, he mentioned, well, you know, why don't you try out for the Lingerie Football League, as it was previously called. And I said, hey, you know, that's kind of interesting. Do we have any teams around here? And so he said, I think there's one out in Baltimore. So I looked into it more and more, and I started really watching. I didn't really pay any attention to it before that, to be quite honest. But I started looking into it, and I looked at some of the games online and started following all. And I said, wow, these girls are really hitting. This is a pretty intense sport. So I went ahead and reached out to the coach. Coach Rick Reeder was the coach at the time, and said, hey, you know, I gave him a little bit of background about myself. I said, you know, I'm pretty tough. I come from the military background too. What can I do for your team? So he had me come out to one of the tryouts, and I showed up. I was very aggressive, and I actually fell in love with the sport. You know, regardless of what we were wearing at the time, these ladies really train, and we train and we train. And again, I was used to working out every day, but I woke up, I felt like I got hit by a semi truck the next day, and I just fell in love. I was completely impressed and became a little addicted to it. And that's sort of how I fell into football as a whole, as I had never played football in high school. And I was just really impressed by the training and the devotion it really took to become conditioned to play these games, and the camaraderie, the team atmosphere. You know, the ladies really, you form that bond, kind of like you would have playing any other team sport in high school. And a lot of the women missed that in high school because they didn't have the opportunity to play football like the men do. And so it's something that, you know, it's never too late to get involved with. You've got women that are 17 years old out there. You've got women that are, you know, nearing 40 playing for that particular league, and I just found it so interesting that we were all willing to help each other out and bond during those, you know, during the off season while we're training and training and training, and everybody's going through the same thing. Some of the women, you know, they've got kids, they work full-time jobs, some are dentists, some are lawyers, some, you know, everybody has family issues, everybody's sort of going through the same thing, and we're just really there to help each other out. And that's what really drew me in, and you know, up until the time that I decided not to play any longer for the LFL. So that's
now,
kind of why.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish.
Oh, sorry. And so that is what drew me into the league. And then I obviously had some reasons that I no longer wish to play for the league after that. But those were just some of the positives that I wanted to touch on real quick.
All right, great. The only thing I was you know, kind of focused on during that time you were there, there was that transition between Coach Reeder being let go. Was that something mm-hmm. of a factor for you to kind of not participate in there as well because of the coach being let go, or was it something for you in terms of, you know, it was just not the right atmosphere for you?
I actually ended up deciding I had written, I sent an email to the coaches, and we had followed up with a phone call probably about a week before they were released. So honestly, I didn't have any idea that the coaches were being released, that the head coach, Rick Reeder, or his staff were being released at that time. I had decided to no longer pursue playing for the LFL after we had our tryouts in January, and I had met with the commissioner and started learning more about the policies with the LFL. Just noticed some things that were happening with our team and, you know, with the other teams abroad. I started doing a little more research and just found that it really wasn't a good fit for me. And I noticed that some of the other ladies on the team had sort of talked about similar issues and concerns. And at that time, I just said, you know, this is not for me. And then sure enough, a week later, they were released. And that I had actually thought about, well, you never know, I might come out and sit on the bench. And Coach Reeder had actually told me on the phone when I let him know that I wouldn't be coming back to practice, that I was welcome to come out. You know, I might decide to go ahead and play after all, and he was, you know, pretty excited and hopeful for that. And then unfortunately they were released a week later, and that's when I said, well, there's not a chance that I'm going to be coming back on board, you know, based on what happened with them. I didn't really agree with it, and sort of created a negative atmosphere, I think, for not only the Baltimore Charm but the league as a whole. It wasn't good for morale, I don't believe, but you know, that's just my two cents on the matter. So that's when I knew I was not going to be coming back. I think that did affect the overall morale of the team and the players.
Now, Kara, you know, the outfit is one thing, but, you know, like you talked about, the commitment is there in terms of the, you know, the play. The only thing that, you know, some of the fans are usually concerned with is, you know, protection and all that. And I think it's evolved to some extent, and I think it'll continue to evolve, because I think the sport will demand the player to be more protected. So given your the new league that you're in now, the WIFL, which is basically a full kit league with the 8-on-8,
mm-hmm.
do you think the speed of the game is going to be similar to the LFL at this point?
I'm not sure if it will be quite as fast-paced. I know at the LFL that the speed was, you know, you were moving from play to play to play. It was a very quick, fast-paced game. I have a feeling, given the uniforms, you know, being in full uniform, and given that there are no – sorry, I'm on the side of a road right now. If you hear any background, I just got done hiking all day. But given the uniforms,
no
and given
problem.
The fact that there are no weight requirements to meet, you're going to have ladies that are a little more stout than others, again, because it doesn't matter what you look like. If you can play, if you can hit, that's what we want. So some of the ladies are going to be a little bit, you know, larger than the girls who obviously play on the LFL. You're not going to have a bunch of girls the size of Paris Hilton running around out there. So I'd imagine that the speed of the game will probably slow down a little bit, but I think that impact level is going to increase exponentially. And I think that, you know, having the full gear on is going to be absolutely a requirement. We need those helmets, full shoulder pads. We don't need to be getting strawberries on our bum cheeks, you know, while sliding across the field. So while it may be a little bit slower, I'd imagine, I think you're going to have some tanks out there. You're going to have some ladies that are 200-plus pounds on that line, and it's going to be absolutely required that we have that kind of protective gear. And that is one of the reasons why I decided to move away from the LFL. I didn't like how, you know, even though they announced the rebranding, they were using – these larger shoulder pads, we were still wearing hockey helmets. And in my opinion, that's not safe for any kind of impact sport. And those ladies are taking some hard hits. For those who have not watched an LFL game, turn it on. I mean, these women are giving it their all, and they're getting hit hard. And the reason why they're not using helmets was basically told to us in football camp or training camp that it was because we would start using our heads as weapons. And I thought that was absolutely ludicrous. I mean, you're bound to bump heads at some point during the game. And I think it's crucial that we have that full protective, you know, helmet on, as the WIFL is outlining. So that's another positive for the league, that I think that they're taking our safety into concern. They want the better well-being for all of their players. They don't want us just, you know, falling off the gridiron like flies. So
yeah, and the modification of the helmet, I think there's a lot of people that question it, I think it's more of, you know, in some aspects, some fans think it's more of a visibility thing for the player. I think it just gives the player more visible. You know, you could see a full face figure look on there versus on a helmet. You can barely tell that it's eyes and noses and stuff like that. So there's a lot of leagues that we network with right now that are using the full helmet in Mexico as well, in Texas. Some of the Texas leagues are using those in the non-traditional sense. In other words, they're not wearing a full kit, but they're still wearing the traditional helmet. And I think that's, the leagues there have strongly supported that because of the fact that, you know, it's oval. It's not edged like a hockey helmet, and you would think the hockey helmet, given the visor effect, would be more of a deterrent in terms of a full skin contact to where you can get cut or you can actually get more injured that way versus the football helmet that's got, you know, more of a rounded edge and more of a smooth face guard. But, you know, the debate's there. I mean, it's the owner's league, as they say, and it's his call whether he wants to make that change or not. And at this point, he's decided, obviously, that's not the change that they want to go into for his benefit and for the league benefit in terms of, you know, marketing and everything like that. So, Kara, tell the fans a little bit about, did you ever get to play a game in the LFL, or were you on the bench at the time, or did you ever experience the game day atmosphere that league has afforded?
No, unfortunately, I decided not to sign the contract. It was right after I trained for over a year with the Baltimore Charm, up until right after after the training camp in January. I stayed on board until actually February or so, and that's when I decided to call it quits. So I was never actually able to even sit in on a game. And didn't really get that experience. However, we train just as hard as we played, and that's something that our coaches always emphasize to us. You train like you play. Prepare just like you would for the game. So we were playing pretty hard there for a while, even though we weren't allowed to make contact without pads. They still had us playing as if we were truly going to be involved in that game. But unfortunately, I decided not to move forward. I didn't want to take a risk and sign a contract that I, you know, wasn't going to be happy playing. I was showing up to practice every week, and I didn't enjoy being there anymore. And that's when you know you are no longer, you know, you should no longer be involved in something you don't look forward to, you don't like. When you don't enjoy the game anymore, I think that's when it's time to go. And, yeah, I didn't get to play because of that, unfortunately.
All right, and I know Julie Olson got to play for, you know, I think it was about two games and so. So I'm pretty sure she's got a different perspective in terms of the, you know, the contact and the real game of feel. So we'll see if we can get a hold of Julie and see how that experience helped her out. So Kara, tell the fans a little bit about yourself in terms of your fitness background. You said you're a boxer. How do you think this is going to benefit you? Obviously, full kit going into the league for 2014. Are you looking forward to a certain position that you want to play, or are you focused on right now just on any position at this point? Or is there something that you truly enjoy playing? You know, linebacker, or offense, or defense. So what's going to be? What are we going to watch once you launch out and once you're in full gear and you know, warrior like?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to see me on the defense. When I originally joined the Baltimore Charm, the coach said, "Hey, you're the center." I mean, he pointed at me. He said, "Center," because I've got you know, very, very lean mass, but I've got quite a bit of mass on me. Again, I'm a pretty stout girl. So he had me as a center because, again, in the LFL, most of the women are, you know, 140 or less pounds. So if you're seeing a girl that's over 160 pounds, you need them to play on the line. So that's kind of where I was placed. Over time practicing, I started moving more and more, started gravitating towards defense, and I really found that I love defense. I think that's where I belong. It's a place where I can be much more aggressive, and that kind of showed through my boxing style. When I was boxing, I started boxing when I was about 16 years old in Orlando, Florida, which is my hometown, and continued boxing throughout the military until I found my home in Washington, D.C. I currently reside in Virginia, but I was based out of Washington, D.C. I started boxing for some gyms in the area. I ended up winning the Golden Gloves in 2010 for the D.C. Maryland area. And my boxing style, I was usually a little bit shorter than some of the girls, my same weight, but I'm very aggressive. I'm kind of like a pit bull. I like to put that pressure on all the time. So I really think that defense is where I belong. I loved playing defensive end particularly. There's no better feeling than being able to completely annihilate and smash that quarterback. I love it with all my heart and soul. So I'm hoping you're going to either see me there, or I might even want to give safety a try. Completely different position, but I've got a lot of speed on me. I'm very, very quick, very aggressive. I like that attack. I like being able to go out and find that ball, find who I need to smash into the ground. So you're hopefully going to be seeing me on defense there. I wouldn't mind still playing offense as center if I'm needed, but I have a feeling, given the size difference of some of the women on this team, I'm probably going to be more on the medium side and may not be as well fit for a center position as I was in the LFL. So likely you'll probably find me as defensive end or safety. Those are the two positions I would really optimistically like to see myself in.
Awesome. Love that. And that, you know, that's where most players, I think, kind of dive into initially, is a defensive sense, because I think offensively it takes a little bit more mental toughness to learn the plays, a lot more strategic. So if you like a mental state, I think offensively it's a great thing. If you like defense, defense is, I wouldn't say it's less of a mental state, but defensively you're not playing more than a couple plays, and you're only defending on those plays. So sometimes people, you know, draw into the defensive state. So I could see why you're aggressively, you know, being a hunter instead of trying to, you know, prevent to be hunted. So that's a good state. Well, Karen, the launch of the league is kind of like, everybody has a lot of questions, and I know there's an announcement that's coming up probably this coming week on the 15th or so, in terms of structure and stuff like that. So hopefully that's going to be something very positive going forward in terms of the salary cap, in terms of, you know, how things are going to be restructured, if anything. Do you think that having too many teams initially coming on board is a detriment, or do you think maybe it should have been scaled down to maybe lesser teams just to start and see how that pans out? What's your feeling on you know, having maybe too many teams at this point?
We do have quite a few teams already, and we haven't even held all of our tryouts. However, I think it will come together. There are a lot of women out there that are showing interest in playing the sport, so I think we're going to get a lot of great talent at those tryouts, so much so that I think the coaches are going to have a very hard time picking and choosing how they want to fill that roster. So as of right now, if you go on the WIFL football website, you're probably not going to see many ladies on those team rosters at the moment, and that's because we haven't really fulfilled all of those tryouts at this point in time. But I don't think it's going to be any kind of problem. I think we're starting off on the right page. I think it's kind of go hard or go home, might as well go all out and see what we can do right off the bat. So I don't think it should be difficult, because we are really only filling, you know, or providing teams throughout the East Coast. So I think it's kind of a smart move not to move towards the West at this point in time, even though a lot of women have been contacting me regarding whether or not we're going to have teams out in the Midwest. You know, the Midwest is a huge football area. In fact, one of the ladies, Tia Nipper, decided to go ahead and join up with the WIFL, and she's out of Cleveland, Ohio. So unfortunately, there's no team out there at this point in time, but they will be progressing. And I think that's kind of what the WIFL had in mind, is to, you know, just keep it smaller scale on the East Coast, make it so that those women don't have to travel all the way to California. We can have more teams in a smaller area. That way, make it a little more accommodating for those ladies, the coaches and so forth, and then kind of spread out. So I don't think it's a bad move at all. I think we can definitely start off with that.
I think logistically it makes sense, just like we talked about at the beginning. I think it really makes sense logistically, because the South is always a hotbed, football hotbed. The Northeast, you know, you go into Cleveland, Ohio, you know, all those places, very supportive in terms of football, in terms of college football, high school football, in that aspect. So I don't think, you know, it's going to be a problem in terms of drawing and potential, you know, athletes or women that want to participate. My only concern is, you know, from a standpoint of a business sense, is you grow too fast initially and then you have to scale back. So that was really what the question was, you know, whether it's going to be a great thing or not. So we will see once it launches and what the attendance showcases in terms of certain cities and stuff like that. So that's all going to be, you know, based on obviously, you know, the interests of the fan and coming into it. A lot of intriguing names on the franchises. So, you know, Wildcats for Washington, Cobras for Columbia. You would think, you know, it would have been maybe, you know, more animal-like names on the teams. Is that okay with you, or is it, you know, we have Firefighter, I think Fayetteville Fighters. What do you think of the team names so far? You like the names?
I like the majority of them. I've even raised some questions on a few of them. For example, the Atlanta Aces. That was one that kind of, you know, Atlanta's not really known for fighter jets, which can be referred to as Aces or the Pilots at least, or playing poker or anything like that. So I was like, how did we come up with that? But really, from what I understand, a lot of those names were fan-based. They were chosen by fans. They went ahead and had kind of a poll on their Facebook website, and a lot of those were chosen by the fans. So you know what? If that's what they want, that's what they get. So I have questioned a few of them, but that's all right. You know, we're going to make it work. There's some strange names out there for some bands, and for example, the Cincinnati Bengals. Who would have come up with a bangle? There's not a single bangle, you know, aside from the Cincinnati Zoo but, you know.
That is true.
It is what it
is. True. Yeah, exactly. That
yeah,
is
I thought
true.
That they were interesting.
You also have, you know, weird names in the NFL, you know, for some teams, and you're, like, scratching your head. Well, okay, yeah, right. Okay. So now, are you planning to play for Washington? Is it Columbia? Is it a definite at this point for fans? I know, you know, we posted your Fit Bodies, Hit Bodies shirt with the Washington Wildcat. So I don't know if that's going to be a staple or not at this point. But do you think Washington's going to be your team at this point once the tryouts and everything logistically works out before the season starts?
I sure am hoping so. I would love to play for Washington, seeing as that I live kind of on the border there. I'm kind of in the Alexandria, Virginia area. So, of course, I'd prefer not to have to travel very far for practices. And I do consider, you know, the Washington, D.C. area my home. However, I wouldn't mind playing for the Baltimore Blitz either. So that's sort of up in the air at this point in time. We'll kind of see. We may have the fans pick, you never know, or the coaches,
awesome.
You know, whenever we go through drafts and so forth. So I'm hoping for the Washington Wildcats, though. So hopefully that's where you'll see my face and the no-joke football gear. Hopefully we'll be able to keep that with the Washington Wildcats. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. Our gear is available on the Zazzle.com, Gridiron Beauties, of course, webpage. And my particular slogan is Fit Bodies, Hit Bodies. I know Tia Nipper also has her shirt out there. It's very, very light and sort of friendly, bubbly. You can go ahead and check those out. We also have some other gear on our Cafe Press webpages. You can locate that by going to the WIFLFootball.com website also. So anything for the Baltimore Blitz, if I'm not playing for Baltimore at that point in time, it'll just sort of be like collector's items. Some of the other ladies also have items available as well. Julie Olson, Amber Wilson, Tia, they all have their gear out there as well. So we definitely recommend the fans go and check them out.
Now, Kara, the materialistic in terms of the gear, and is that a compensated state for you guys? Is that a benefit for the player? I mean, how is that arrangement, you know, because obviously it's very different than any other arrangement in terms of a traditional or non-traditional. This is kind of a first in a lot of ways to, you know, the fans get to support you in terms of on-field play and obviously notoriety, but at the same time they get to purchase something that is beneficial to you in terms of sales and obviously gives some sort of a benefit to the player. So that's kind of nice to have that kind of a co-branding type deal with the league and the player being, you know, on both fronts to push either merchandising or some sort of revenue state to maintaining, obviously, a progressive state for the league.
Yeah, and you'll find that in a lot of the other sports arenas, you're not going to come across that. Just like you said, most of the players don't, you know, get any sort of benefit financially from selling their gear, but that is something that's very different for the WIFL. And I actually like the way it's set up. You know, you can the individual players can promote as much or as little as they like, and it sort of balances out on whether or not they get a paycheck from it or not. Honestly, as far as the pay is concerned, it's not going to be enough to pay my electric bill or whatnot, but it does offer, you know, a little something on the side for the players to say, hey, you know, we support you both, you know, by putting your name out there and, you know, getting that attention and notoriety, as well as, you know, putting a little bit of extra change in our paychecks that can help us, you know, pay for a jump rope or pay for workout gloves or pay for our cleats and whatnot. So it is very beneficial. I like the approach that they're taking there. And it's actually pretty neat gear, too. I really, you know, I could donate my money to some other cause if people just go out there and get the gear, you know, support us, get our names out there. That's what we really want right now.
Well, and that's, you know, it's great to have that option because, if, like I said, a lot of leagues, they don't have that option. So it's great to hear that, obviously, they're very supportive in that sense. And it's a positive. And I think everything's been positive so far from, you know, a PR state. And we'll see the reality in terms of, you know, once you hit the field initially in the first game, the buzz and everything else, once the schedule comes out, it's going to be a little bit more exciting for the fans to kind of dive into, you know, and create some rivalries, because I think the more closer the teams are, the better the rivalry state's going to be. You know, you got, you know, Washington, Columbia right next door. You got Philadelphia, New York. So it's going to be exciting to find out, you know, what kind of rivalries get built up once the teams are set and the rosters are kind of put in place and on the East Coast. And the big metro areas, I think, are great for your league. Because there's, like I said, the demographics here. There's a lot of women that want to play football and never gotten the opportunity to do it. So it's kind of a great opportunity. And it's a great time, actually, for women's sports, too, because you get an extra avenue of choices. So, you know, if you want to try out the Legends League, if you want to try out the traditional, you know, women's football arena or the independent women's football league style, or now, you know, you're kind of a brand, obviously, the 8-on-8 on in Arena League with full kit as well. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for, you know, young athletes coming out of college and giving themselves an opportunity to play actually football, which has never been given, you know, that opportunity before. So it's great.
Yes, yes. I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to get some of those rivalries going. I think it's going to be very exciting. I think we may actually have one between Baltimore and D.C., especially seeing that there's a chance that a few of the players could be split, you know, seeing that I've played with Julie Olsen and so forth. If I end up playing for D.C. and she's over there in Baltimore, we're going to root each other on. But I have a feeling, you know, we know our strengths and weaknesses, and it's going to be head-to-head at that point if that's how it turns out. So we'll see how that goes. I think it's going to be very, very exciting. Again, I think it's wonderful that women are actually getting that avenue, just like you said, something we never had before. I wish I could have played in high school. Unfortunately, it wasn't an opportunity that I had. And, you know, I had to kind of fall into that later on in my life. I'm 31 years old, but, you know, well, 31 years young, we'll call it, and just getting into my prime now. So I'm hoping to see more and more women that have that aggression they want to let out, get out there on the field and show us what they got.
Now, Kara, let's talk about marketing before we let you go. What's been some of the intangibles for you guys in terms of marketing? Are you going to get positive reception in terms of sponsors? You know, what's been the, you know, give us a little bit of feedback in terms of, you know, the marketing stake. I know we're still way out there for launching, but have you gotten some good feedback in terms of local sponsors for certain regions?
I know that some of the regions have had some good feedback, and I just don't think that we've had the time or energy yet to really sort of expand upon that at this point in time. So I haven't been directly involved with much of the marketing. I know that we do have some good partnerships kind of evolving, and I'll keep those names quiet for now, but we are always looking for sponsorships, and we've got a lot of great packages out there. If anyone's interested in sponsoring us, they're welcome to contact Ray or anyone else on the website there on the WIFLfootball.com website. Reach out and see if they can contact either Jonathan Regis or Ray Blanchett, who is the president, or actually the CEO of the entire league. But I'm not really familiar right now with what kind of sponsorships we've retained. I haven't been directly involved, unfortunately. So I wish I could answer that question a little bit better. But at this time, I'm not able to.
Yeah, no problem. The only reason I bring it up is because, you know, normally when you start out as a new venture, you're always going to have some sort of resistance. And since the brand is not as noticeable, it's usually, it's kind of like a deterrent. Some people kind of hesitate to participate because they don't understand what it's all about. Tara, on the marketing side of it also, are you guys planning to go into a marketing sense with posters? I mean, what's going to be the draw for the fan? Because if you're going to go traditional women's football, somebody's always going to tell you right off the bat you're going to fail. And that's usually how everybody sees it. They see, oh, okay, you're going to fail because your approach is come see women in full kit men's gear, just like the men's gear. Do you think, are you guys going to go to a sex appeal, maybe calendars, posters, heavy promotional, individual team players? I mean, at this point, has it been discussed at all at this point in terms of how you'll approach the marketing sense to draw in the fans?
I think eventually we are going to be going, to the route where we are going to have posters and so forth. I'm not so certain about, having that sex appeal, that the LFL has and whatnot. But I think that that's one of the bonuses of our league is that a lot of the women, they don't want to play for a league that's going to be, promoting on that sense because it just makes them uncomfortable. They want to play to play. So I think it's going to be an option whether or not you want to be involved in that sort of branding. And I think the league as a whole is really coming up with how they're going to be branded still. It is so new. We want to be taken very seriously and, as athletes. So I think there's always going to be opportunities for that based off of each individual player. I know that I'm more open probably to expanding in that area than maybe some of the other players are, and I don't want them to feel like they have to be, put out that way, by having their face and bodies on posters and so forth. So I think it's really up to the individual players, and we'll just have to see how that unfolds. But we are going to be taking a more heavy dynamic approach to marketing in the future. I think right now it's just a matter of how we want to be branded and how we want the audience and fans to see us. There are talks about possibly having some sort of a reality TV show later on down the road. Again, that might not be something that other players are looking forward to, and I don't feel that they would have to be involved in that side if they weren't comfortable with it. We're also looking at being broadcasted on national television. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of naysayers out there, and they say, hey, you're going to fail. But I think that that's also coming from an era, before women's sports were really well known. Again, I go back to boxing because that's where a lot of my background comes from. We just started getting women's boxing in the Olympics, this past
right.
year. So as a whole, women's sports are evolving, women's volleyball, boxing, MMA, and so forth. And I think that there are more and more fans that are interested in women's sports. I've actually got a lot of gentlemen that reach out to me and they say, hey, I actually prefer watching women's sports because you guys play with heart. It's not necessarily for the money because we don't have these huge paychecks. These women are out there playing just because they want to play. They want to, they have something to prove, whereas in a lot of cases, the men don't. So there are fans that specifically want to watch women's sports, and there are a lot of women out there now that are wanting to become more and more involved with women's sports. So I think it's just a matter of evolving as a whole. I mean, if you would have taken a look at our country 50 years ago, women really weren't in the workforce either, but that's changed significantly too. So while it might not be happening right here, right now, I think it's something we're kind of pioneering the way. We might not see that direct effect right now, but I guarantee you in 20 years from now, this country is going to be very, very different. The world's going to be different. They're going to view women in sports very differently. So I think it's important to get that marketing out there. Otherwise, no one knows who we are or what we're about. So that is an approach that I believe the WIFL is taking. And, how that's going to unfold, we don't really know, but it is going in that direction, absolutely.
Now, you have a couple key faces that you guys are promoting, so the fans can get to know each other, certain faces. Now, the question or the skeptic in me would be, none of your players are dominant players in terms of a women's scene. So at this point, Kara, are you guys going to be the faces of the league in terms of, promotional-wise? Do you know if are you going to take a leadership role in that sense where you are going to be the, I wouldn't say the eye candy girl of the league, but ultimately the player face, just like in the NFL, there's key players that obviously the league promotes at this point. So are you inclined to go that route to be the face of the WIFL, to be maybe the voice of it, and maybe people at that point will recognize yourself as part of the brand? Is that your goal at this point?
Yeah, I would have to say that is kind of where my goals are. I think that I could provide, you know, both the look and the athleticism that people want to see. Not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but it's good to have kind of that balance where people can say, oh, you know, she looks like, you know, any other female for that matter, but she's able to play and, you know, able to speak about the sport and so forth. So I would like to take that role. We're kind of figuring out how my role specifically is going to evolve in that sense, but I'm hoping to kind of fulfill more of a spokesmodel role and, you know, bring attention to the sport. I definitely don't mind being out there. I love people. I love talking to people. I love talking about things that I'm passionate about, and within the past year and a half or so, that's become football. So I definitely want to make people aware that we're here. We're going to entertain them. We're going to provide, you know, something they've never seen before. And I'm definitely hoping to take that exact route.
Awesome. And that's what, you know, that's the positive out of it. That's what we want to hear, because a lot of the fans on our Twitter feed were asking a lot of things about them. That's all the questions that I just asked you. You pretty much have answered almost everything that the fans wanted answered in terms of, you know, how the league's going to be structured, how things are going to start to evolve. And obviously it's so early right now, like you said, it's still going to take some time to build the brand, and obviously the first launch or the first game, once everything's in place, I think we'll tell a story about the commitment in terms of the, you know, the corporate side of it, the commitment on the players and the people that are going to come out to try out, ultimately the commitment of the fan, because that's going to, you know, tell whether it's good football or not, or whether people are even inclined to dive into it. So hopefully that, you know, everything, all the three pieces or all phases of the game, as they call it in football, all three phases will come into play, and we'll have a great, you know, great brand at that point. So we're looking forward to it. We obviously partnered with the WFL for that reason, because it's a positive state for women's sports, and our brand reflects that. And our, you know, our brand slogan is an attitude slogan, so we really want to express that to the fan and let them know that obviously women's gridiron is here to stay, and we cover it globally, and most people don't even know that this game exists overseas, not just in the States, but it exists in Australia, it exists in Germany, and given the Women's World Championships this year, everybody was kind of blown away, because it's like, okay, it's international. So, you know, women's football is international. It's just, unfortunately, it's never gotten the recognition, and hopefully, you know, your league, as well as other leagues that are making positive strides, will get that elevated to that state where people are now going to see this as a true sport and something that they can enjoy.
Yes, yes. I'm definitely hoping so. I've got my fingers crossed. We're going to, you know, push as far as the limits will let us go, and definitely, you know, work on that. Right now we're just really, again, in the early stages. We're hoping to actually, we're accepting applications for ownership of various franchises. So if anyone is interested, it's, you know, much more affordable than buying, you know, one of the other franchises, like owning a Chipotle or something like that. You can go ahead and apply on the WIFLfootball.com webpage right now if you're interested in ownership of a franchise. Again, much more affordable than some of the other franchises out there, and it's definitely a good business opportunity. You can get involved very, very early, and that's one of the bonuses, is that we are still in its early stages. There could be some great revenue to come in the future, and that's what we're hoping for.
Awesome. So, Kara, thank you for your time today. I know you're taking away from some of the your daily regimen, and we appreciate you giving us the time and the fitness tips as well, and the insights in terms of what the WIFL is going to be looking at and going down forward. Obviously, you're on Facebook, like you said, and everybody can catch the latest information on WIFLfootball.com, or then go to the WIFL Facebook page as well. For all the latest updates. So the announcement should be here in another week. Hopefully the restructuring is going to be a great thing and a positive state going forward again. And we're looking forward to the excitement and the build-up. So tryouts, you know, are the first step, like you said, and think going forward from there, obviously marketing, and then after that, obviously the real deal, as they say, the game's schedule and everything's going to go live at this point. So we're looking forward to seeing you on the field. We appreciate you giving us the time today, and we'll touch base on Facebook if that's the case going forward in terms of updates. And we'll hope your Fit Bodies and Hit Bodies apparel is going to be a hit as well with the fans. So we're looking forward to everything in terms of the WAFL.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. I certainly appreciate it. I'm very happy that you were able to get me on here and kind of let me fill everybody in, all the fans in, on what's going on in women's football right now. And appreciate you having me on today. Thank you.
All right, Kara, enjoy your evening. I know it's, for us it's Pacific time, but I know it's East Coast. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll be in contact in the coming months, and we might even bring you on board as things start to evolve and a lot more things are happening, and the fans obviously will request that, and hopefully that's the case, and we'll bring you back on board.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, safe travels. Enjoy your evening, and have a great time out in the East Coast. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Kara Vargas, and she's involved with the Women's Indoor Football League. She previously had participated in the Legends League for a short period of time, never played in it. But she's looking forward to the opportunity that this league has to offer young women right out of college and all aspects, all demographics, all age groups. It's going to be great to see how it evolves between now and 2014 when it launches. And it has a great potential. Its backing is really good standing. From what we know at this point, it's just wait and see how it will change out in terms of once it hits the reality stage, which is now building setup, structure, and game day preparation. So a lot of things are still in the works. And like she said before, it's very exciting times for them because they're starting from the beginning and the ground up. There's no ownerships in place except for the main owner at this point, which is the league. Once the ownership status gets changed in terms of individual franchise ownerships, it's going to be exciting to see how each individual franchise takes a hold of their market and how each market will then evolve in terms of who's going to be the top dog, who's the better team representatives, and it's more competitive in that sense. So once it branches out from a single entity into individual franchises, it's going to be exciting to see how individual communities, the individual teams evolve in terms of getting the fanfare out there. And so you can go to the WIFL.com website to get the latest information on tryouts. You can register there as well, like she said. And you can also get the latest sponsorship information as well as anything that you want to do with ownership. So if you're interested in ownership, you can go to the WIFLfootball.com site. And you get all the latest information. You can email them for the latest information in terms of contact, and they can email you back packages and details. So let's go into the two-minute drill, and we'll finish up our show here since we only have a couple minutes. We'll go into the two-minute drill. The two-minute drill is sponsored by No Joke Football Apparel. You can find it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So we were talking about the Legends Football League playoff picture. And we finished up in Baltimore. So Baltimore is going to await the winner of the Steam versus Passion, Philadelphia Passion versus Atlanta Steam. It's going to take place August 17th at Sears Center. It's a doubleheader mentality. It's a great deal on Groupon. So if you go to the Groupon, it's about $20, and you get to see two games. So it's actually about $10 per game. So it's a great value. So if you're in Chicago and you're going to be in there August 17th, take a look at the Legends Football League playoffs. That's going to happen there. It's going to be Chicago Bliss, which is the home team, taking on the current champs, LA Temptation. And then you're going to see the Atlanta Steam against the Philadelphia Passion. So the Passion get here in a rocky road this year. Chrissy Bell, Mary Rose Roach, not as an exciting offensive unit as they were before, but they do have some weapons that they added on. Megan Lawrence. They've also had defensively on the other side, the return of Heather Perez. You also had Heather as well as Lauren LaBella coming back. So there's still a lot of veteran support there. Angela Perfetto, which went on injury. Hopefully she'll return well in good state. But the bottom line is Philadelphia played against Cleveland the last, I believe, last week or so, and they kind of showed some heart. They came back, and now you see the true passion, true Philadelphia passion, the two-time Eastern Conference champs, the two-time Lingerie Bowl losers, as most people would call them, because they lost the bowl. But technically, they lost the first bowl game by a point, and the second pretty much wasn't there because Mary Rose was kind of injured. But bottom line is, the Passion are a good team. They play well. They play gritty. And it showed in Cleveland. And I think they're ready for another run. And I don't think they're going to go down without a fight. Atlanta, on the other hand, they have a new franchise. It's brand new folks. They have Coco Montgomery. They also have Brittany Sharp. They got Brittany Morgan. So they got a couple weapons there. They had the Sierra Johnson who went down with injury. But bottom line is they do have some talented players on this team. We will see if they match up against Philadelphia. Philadelphia, like I said, if I had put my money on it right now, I think Philadelphia would be the team to kind of put together to win. So if they do win, the scenario is leaves Philadelphia against Baltimore, which is basically Angela Rippon facing Christy Bell. And, Philadelphia, usually in the playoff mode, has never really lost. The last 2 years, they've been very aggressive in the Eastern Conference. They've taken their game to another level when it comes to the playoffs, and I think it'll be no different. Baltimore is a new team, 3-1. They showcase a lot of good talent. T.C. Mesta, they showcase that Heather Hudson, Morgan Spencer, Kelly Campbell. So there's, a lot of veterans as well as some of the returning rookies there for this year. So Baltimore is on an upswing. Gary Clark, first-year coach, given the regime that happened early in the year, the change. So the charm has a battle. If they go up against Passion, it's going to be a battle. And I think that Philadelphia might edge them this time around, given the fact that they beat them during the season. So Philadelphia might be looking for a revenge mode here and try to win that. If Atlanta somehow surprises against Philly, I really think Atlanta might get beat by Baltimore. Baltimore's got the better physical team, more than likely, service stature. So we'll see how that works out. So August 17th, Atlanta team against the Philadelphia Passion, Chicago Bliss versus L.A. Temptation. So it's going to be an exciting time for the Legends Football League playoff matchup. So if you like that solid game, you're going to look at that. So the two teams waiting in the wait, Seattle Mist, which is the best team in the league, undefeated. Their best year they've had in existence. Chris Michelson has put together an amazing amount of talent, including some rookies and veterans. So besides Jessica Hopkins, everybody knows, Christine Moore, Shea Norton, you got to add Melee Rich, LaShawn Fowler. There's a lot of players on this Mist team that are very talented. The real test for them is if they face L.A., can they beat L.A. when it counts? If they face the Bliss, and they beat a Bliss team that's very, very edgy in terms of getting into a playoff state. Crystal Harris is pretty tough to beat. So if the Bliss can get past L.A., Seattle will have to contest with the brand-new team they've never seen. If the Temptation beat the Bliss, it's a rematch for Seattle, and now it's going to be for all the marbles. Can they beat them when it counts? Temptation has lost during the regular season every year since they've been there. Dallas beat them once, Las Vegas, and obviously Seattle now. So they bend and break in the regular season. They just don't break in the playoffs. So we'll see how that works out for them. The other matchup in the terms of the games was the Women's Arena Football League in Garland, Texas. It was Linda Brenner's team, the Dallas Darlings, winners 33-0. They're undefeated in the Women's Arena Football League action. It took on the Houston Lady Oilers. So there's going to be another game next week. You can check the updates on our Twitter feed at Great Iron Beauty, and we'll keep you up to date, or you can go to the official Twitter feed on their league site, which is WAFL League on Twitter. So that's going to be pretty much the exciting slate there. The next game coming up August 17th is going to be the Sugar and Spice Super Bowl. That's going to take place in the Texas swing, and that's going to be the Texas Cowgirls versus the McAllen Mystics. And this is sort of a rematch from last year. McAllen Mystics beat the Texas Cowgirls in the final. Texas is looking for a revenge state. McAllen Mystics looking for back-to-back titles. So it's going to be a great event. If you need the ticket information, You can get it on our Facebook page or our Twitter feed. You can go to SSFL Football on Twitter, or you can go to the Sugar and Spice Football League on Facebook, and you can check that out for the details. It's a good deal. It's good pricing, and you're going to get basically the final plus two other games on top of that. So it's kind of like a Super Palooza type of feel in Texas. So that's going to do it for us today. For Kara Vargas, we thank her for coming in, and for the rest of the networking team that gives us the information this week. We look forward to next week where we take a look at another current star or pioneer of the women's game, and then obviously the playoff state in the Legends Football League, as well as the Women's Arena Football League action, and we'll get the results from the Sugar and Spice Super Bowl. So for Oscar Lopez and everybody here at Gridiron Beauties, we look forward to next week as we take a look at Gridiron Beauties Radio and the Women's Gridiron Game. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next week.